Coming up on Smart Tech Today, Matthew Casanelli and I are back and back in the saddle, and we are talking about Apple Watch. Yes, there is a story about the ECG feature actually doing a better job of detecting a heart condition than the hospital's ECG monitor. Interesting stuff there. Plus, lots to talk about in streaming, including some cool new hardware for streaming live from your iPhone, and of course, our picks of the week. And Matthew Casanelli attended a virtual wedding. All that and so much more coming up on Smart Tech Today. Smart Tech Today is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? Well, LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Smart Tech Today is brought to you by Molecule. Molecule is reimagining the future of your health with clean air, starting with the air purifier. For 10% off your first air purifier order, visit molecule.com and enter code STT. And by Casper. Casper is a sleep brand that makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest one night at a time. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/STT and using promo code STT at checkout. Welcome back to Smart Tech Today, where we explain the exciting, the dynamic, and the sometimes confusing subject that is the Internet of Things. I am Micah Sargent.
And I am Matthew Casanelli.
Heck yeah, you are. How you doing?
Doing good. Feeling, yeah, I don't know. I just like settled in as much as I can be for something like this and just trying to stay productive. But
yeah, I saw your calendar's full. You done did it. You actually filled it out once.
I was saying it's like I feel way better now that I actually did it because it doesn't look like I haven't done anything in 2 months. It's like there was a couple weeks in there that weren't maybe as productive, but
yeah, I had a really productive weekend. For some reason, some stuff just clicked and came together in my head, I guess. And I started doing some cleaning in my house that I had been putting off, and trying to wrangle some cables and cords and all sorts of things. So yeah, it's kind of nice to start the week fresh with stuff in order, and who knows how the week will go. We'll see. But for now,
well, glad to hear that.
So let's kick things off. We had talked on the show before that Apple had released a COVID-19 app, and I've downloaded it. I'm sure you have it on your phone. But the app has some screening abilities so that you can sort of check what you need to do depending on the symptoms that you have, things like that. And then so some other information in it. It has been updated with new symptoms that are part of the situation and new tips for masks, which, of course, a lot of places are instituting a mask requirement. My locale is one of those. I wouldn't be surprised if yours is as well, where you are required to wear masks. And some stores, even in counties and locales where they are not required, stores are still saying, if you want to come into our store, you have to be wearing a mask. So it's kind of good to have those masks in there, mask tips in there.
Yeah, it is nice. And I didn't actually keep it installed on my phone. And that's kind of why I wanted to just mention it, that I do think the original version was like, I mean, they got it out as fast as they could, which is great, but it didn't have like a ton in there. And then even in throughout April, they added more official guidelines, but it is just like there's more handy information in there, especially like the CDC guideline, a link to like how to create your own mask if you can't actually order one. But I was saying before the show, I ordered a pair from, I love this brand, this guy, has a brand called Ugmunk, and they make like, I have a desk organizer back here in the distance, and like the t-shirts that I like to wear are from them. But they pivoted their factory to, or like the factory that they get their stuff from is now making masks. And so they're selling these. But I wanted to get a pair because it is like, we ordered like a nice pair, and it is like, you do have to clean them pretty regularly. And also just if I'm going to wear this for the foreseeable future, I want it to be comfortable and their clothes are. So I'm hoping this mask is too.
Yeah, like that's
each, so.
Not bad. Not bad. Not a bad price. That's kind of the big thing for me is, good golly, I'm wearing an N95 mask and, you know, just your classic sort of mask you wear when you sand things. And it's just uncomfortable to wear for a long period of time. It is not fun. So I've been looking at some cloth masks and am, you know, I could very easily sew some up myself, but I wanted to also support other businesses and check out some of the other options that are out there and then maybe use those to inform how I would make my own if I choose to go that route. And so far I have ordered Sticker Mule is normally a sticker company that makes product packaging and vinyl stickers and stamps and things like that. But they produced a device for those style of masks where the mask normally hooks behind your ears. That could be uncomfortable for some people, myself included. It kind of freaks me out, the idea of having something behind my ear like that, and it's painful after a while. So they've made this little tab that has hooks on either side, and it goes behind your head, and then you can hook the loops onto that tab. And so that way it's not on your ears, it's hooked in the back of your head. So they have masks, cloth masks, as well as those tabs. Those are supposed to be coming soon. But these Ugg Monk ones look quite nice. They're nice and big, which I think is a big thing that ends up being an issue for folks, is seems like a lot of times they are a little too small, have been the complaints that I've seen. But
doesn't pull fully on my nose and things like that. Or I might get that Sticker Mule thing too, because that's my issue, is that they're slightly loose and I want to like untie the strings and tighten them, but it's just kind of like a lot to deal with. Having more, or like a set in the car and things like that, in case you do happen to forget it, is, it's like more the merrier.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have some,
I guess.
I did want to talk really quickly about that app. I think one of the things that's fascinating is the updates. You go to the App Store and update the app, like, you know, is a normal process for updating an app. But it seems odd that this is the update method for the app. One would think that it would be sort of tied to a web database where the information is from which the information is being pulled. And that would give Apple the possibility, the ability to update the app more frequently, given what this involves. You know what I mean? This is a constantly changing situation, and to tie it to app update as opposed to tying it to a referential database, that's odd to me. And I think it speaks to a larger criticism of Apple in general surrounding its once a year, twice a year, thrice a year updates to its system, where there are these huge updates versus sort of incremental changes that can be downloaded quickly, like Android does with the Google Play Services system. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
My first thought, I just like scrolled to the bottom of the app and there's a privacy policy and legal policy. And I slightly had some interactions with Apple lawyers at one point, and they are the most thorough lawyers in the world. So my first thought was just that, like, somehow there's a privacy issue with that, where like it has to go through some sort of process to make sure all of the information is right, or it's not. I mean, it also is saying like they're not collecting your answers from the screening tool. So there might be the concern that like the screening information is getting passed over the web and things like that. That would be my first guess. I mean, also like, I check my app updates, and I know that you do, I assume you do too, but, and maybe people who listen to this type of show would as well, but I'm curious how many, like, just a total percentage of the whole of people who use Apple devices just have auto update on, because my habit is born from a different era of checking every single app.
Right.
Update, like, that's probably, I think they turned on my default like 4 years ago or something, so.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm curious about that too. I do not have auto update turned on because I am also from that era.
We want to know. We're nerds, so.
and it's less about control. Someone, Georgia Dow, is a famous example of an individual who does not update for reasons other than just being a nerd. it's a, more of a control thing and making sure that the app update is something that doesn't bork the privacy agreement that's put in place and things like that. For me, my reason is that every new app update has the possibility of being like opening a present on my birthday or on whatever holiday I support. I mean, support,
get that
whatever
rush.
Holiday I celebrate. Yeah. It's, oh, there's a new feature I can try out. That's so exciting. Or, oh, there's a new mini game in my favorite game. That's not me. But, you know, those are the kinds of things that I like to see and review because they are fun. And so I'd be kind of upset if I, not upset, but I don't know. It's just not the same if I don't know what's new and what's not. But it makes sense why apps often implement these new splash screens and in-app notifications for check out what's new. Those always get on my nerves because I'm like, I already know what's new. Let me get to my app.
But there's a lot of people who will never know that otherwise. So also, by the way, I do want to mention, I recently have started using a shortcut based off of something from Mac Stories where they collected all of the deep links into the settings app and some of them also they found the App Store ones too. And so I have a shortcut that opens to the page of the app updates in the App Store immediately. So you can get right to your dopamine rush as soon as possible.
Okay. Yeah.
You're but not it's like, that I use it, I've actually used it like every day. And then I, cause I update apps to like check if there's something new and then test flight also, because there's like a lot I mean, for beta apps, it is like, if you don't check app updates, you'll have no idea what gets added to the app and you open it and it's like suddenly new. So I still have that habit, but yeah.
Yeah. You have to send that my way for sure.
The right link too.
That's fun. So let's see, what else do we have here? I guess it's about time. The Apple support app, which I think many of us are going to be using in the coming days and months for, let me see, where are they? Oh, here they are. For this reason.
AirPods.
Yeah, so for folks who are listening, I'm holding up my AirPods, and that is because finally, it seems that more people are talking about an issue that I thought I was experiencing on my own, outside, on my own with no one there beside me, that I thought I was experiencing on my own, or, you know, there's a very rare occurrence, but more and more people are coming forth with information that they are having a rattling issue or a, some people have described it, I've gotten both, a sort of ghostly wind issue or a crackling issue. I mean, there are all of these different terms being used to describe some different things that are happening with the microphone, the ANC, active noise cancellation microphone, in their AirPods Pro. And so people are, you know, making returns of these products because they're not working properly. And I have completely stopped using my AirPods Pro because of this issue. And I just hadn't gone into do something about it because I thought it was going to be a huge slog to make happen, but it appears to be a pretty simple process, thank goodness, to get some replacements. Although I saw that you said that you had to kind of massage the situation a little bit. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I mean, part of just like the whole story is that the Apple support app is like much more refreshed now, and it's easier to find where you need to like go in and get the AirPods support. But basically I went in and then I actually chose to open it into the business chat with Apple, which is always a little bit weird because on some level at a certain point I was like, I feel weird putting in my credit card information through an iMessage or something like that. But basically you just start like getting paired with somebody and then go through the support thing. But they were a little bit, I think it might've been a little, just like a language barrier thing, because they were like, oh, are you on the beta? And then I was like, well, yeah, that's totally not it, I swear. But also then I think I said like, that's not the case. And they were like, no, I'm not talking about the case. And I was no,
brother.
Oh God. But I was like, I tried it on my girlfriend's thing and it was happening too. So it's, I just was like, no, please send them to me. I don't want to like diagnose all this. I know it's an issue. It's like, I don't know. It's like, oh, are you sure? It was just kind of like, oh, if there's a beta, that shouldn't be affecting the AirPods much. And I was like, yeah, but I'm still having the problem.
That's
like,
so
don't tell me
frustrating.
I'm not having the problem. Like, Yeah, it was.
That upsets me because I was already feeling a little gaslit by the situation in the first place. You know what I mean? Oh, this is just a me thing. This is not something that other people are experiencing. And so it kind of sucks when support is required to gaslight its the people who call in the get-go. You know what? I'm not saying that to be funny, or I really don't feel like I'm being dramatic when I say this, or melodramatic when I say this. Up to a certain point, they are kind of supposed to gaslight you because they don't know your level of understanding and what you have tried and haven't tried. And so you can tell them, many of them, 100 times, I've already power cycled the beep beep modem and the router and this and that. And then they're like, oh yes, but have you tried power cycling? Have you tried unplugging it? Or they say something else. And I feel it works that way every time. And so you can try as much as you want to say, no, I know what I've done and this is not working. And there's still that conversation that takes place where you have to convince them.
Exactly. That's why I was trying to be like, no, that's not what's happening. They're like, oh, it seems it's a beta. I don't know. It could be related or something like that, but it was just like, I was like, no, please send me one. Like, don't stop it. Like, don't try to do that to me. Do you know who I am? I'm Matthew Cassin. No, I'm just kidding.
You know you do.
But it is always like, it's just like trying to be clear with them up front. It's like, oh, what's the Parks and Rec where Ron's just like, I know more than you. And the guy's okay.
Yes. You want to be nice, but you also want to get to the solution that you know is the right solution.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not just like, oh, I'm having problems. It's like, this has been, people are all confirming the exact same thing and it happened to me pretty specifically where it was like when I would touch it and things like that. So I almost thought that somehow like the accelerometer was like misfiring and like trying to pass in noise that it should have been canceling out. But it is just like helpful to see. I mean, sometimes it does take somebody like Marco Armand on Twitter to post about it and get 50 replies. And then you're like, okay, yeah, this is actually an issue. Like, we're not just making it up. They're pretty nice. It's like mine's in Reno, Nevada on the way here to replace it. So
wow,
so people know, you have to confirm like $100 down payment in case you don't send in your AirPods. So it was a little like, wait, am I paying $100 to replace these right now kind of thing? But I will follow up, I guess. I assume I will get it back in time and everything. But it's kind of, I mean, these are some of those problems that's hard to tell when you first get them if there's going to be a long-term manufacturing issue, or it could be like one huge bunch from all of the pre-orders went bad. I mean, even other people have talked about like I think the AirPods are way less noise canceling than they originally were. And so maybe this hardware thing is related.
Yeah, the firmware update people have complained about.
It like freaked me out when I got them because I would be like outside and then it's like a car goes by and you're like, Jesus, like I had no idea that was there. And then it definitely wasn't the case recently. So I am curious if it's hardware or like people on Reddit are like, why isn't Apple talking about this and they need to fix it? So who knows? Maybe we'll see something. Or I think, were you saying an extended warranty program? I don't remember. Somebody on Twitter.
I have not said anything. No. I mean, I'd love if that was the case, but I have not said anything. No. That'd be great.
Yeah. They work out. I miss them.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I miss being able to use them because first generation AirPods, I didn't use those at first. And then like I bought them, but I worked from home. And so I didn't use them very often because I worked from home and I worked from home alone. And so I could just play music out of my bookshelf speakers. But when I started being on the go and going places, then I did use them. And then one of them started to die on me. I couldn't hear out of it. It was at, 20% full output. Yeah. And the other one was at 80% full output. And so I was going to be getting rid of them. But then I upgraded to those and I loved the AirPods Pro until they started doing that thing. And then at that point I thought, okay, well, I I don't know. I guess I'll just, because I have other headphones and stuff. And so I guess it was just not worth it to me. But seeing how simple it is and how we're clearly on the cusp, well, I shouldn't say clearly, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're on the cusp of some sort of return program or something like that. That would be good. Let's move on to talk about the European Heart Journal. There's a paper in the European Heart Journal talking about a story of an 80-year-old woman in Germany whose Apple Watch detected evidence of a heart condition that a hospital ECG did not pick up. This, let me like dive into this for a second, because I can remember when the ECG feature on the Apple Watch was first announced, and some of us, myself included, were quite excited about the fact that we would have an ECG on our wrist. Mine, for personal reasons, I was hospitalized on a few occasions due to heart issues that ended up, you know, getting figured out in the end. But given that, I wanted to have a way, because I had to wear the, you know, the, I think it's called a Holter monitor for a period of time, and I had to have my heart checked and blah, 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 blah. So having an ECG on my wrist was something that made me excited and happy and feel more safe. And one of the things that, you know, people put forth was the idea that we have to be careful about espousing the wonderfulness of this product, because it's a single lead ECG, which is not the same as a 5-lead ECG, which is the Holter monitor, and the many more lead ECGs that you get in the hospital, that it wouldn't be as accurate, that it wouldn't provide this, that it wouldn't be that, there wouldn't be a diagnostic tool in this way or that way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I can remember sort of poo-poo after poo-poo after poo-poo of folks kind of coming along and saying, stop being so excited about this. And so I would always go forth and say, let me be clear about how, you know, we have to keep in mind that this, da-da-da-da-da, and give a long preamble before I went into it and hedge the conversation. Now, with that said, data and anecdotal evidence are not the same thing. And this is simply an anecdote. But it is still a really fascinating story that a hospital ECG, which is, you know, said to be so much more accurate, it's 12 lead ECG, did not show evidence of ischemia, but the Apple Watch was able to, the Apple Watch's ECG tests that she took to her doctor showed the evidence of this ischemia. That's really interesting. And in fact, the patient was treated with what it shows a coronary artery stenting and left the hospital the next day. So, you know, a person's life was saved where a hospital test did not accurately show the condition that the patient had. And luckily, you know, the patient said, oh, I'm still kind of got a concern, and showed the chart and the data that was able to keep track of her information over a longer period of time because she had it on her wrist versus this one-time test at the hospital. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. And it is like, I think one major thing is that Apple's, it's very concerning to like put out there that it can do this if it can't fully. So I think that's one reason they might, it might be able to do this kind of thing, but not like with 99% accuracy or whatever, or to market it as a feature, but it still has the data. Maybe I'll grab it afterwards, but I did see it's like they're more and more doctors are using heart data from the Apple Watch because it is like, you can't go to the doctor right now. So if you can send them their information and your ECG digitally, they can read things there. But that is cool that it's like, there's even more to glean from it than what we currently have. And so that is what's interesting, is like in the future, maybe the software gets good enough that they could enable it back for devices that don't even have it yet.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome. Let's take a quick break before we come back with some more news. I want to tell you folks about Molecule, who are bringing you this episode of Smart Tech Today. Molecule now offers its breakthrough Pico technology across a range of products as opposed to just the one product, providing a solution for the entire home when it comes to air purification. Whether you need the Molecule Air for large rooms or the Molecule Air Mini for smaller rooms, you can choose the unit that's best suited for your space or create a bundle to provide an air purification solution for your entire home. Now, let's talk about this technology, because there have been conversations about Molecule and about what Molecule does and doesn't do. And we have to talk about a special and unique feature to Molecule, and that's the PICO technology. PICO stands for photoelectrochemical oxidation, and it's a technology that destroys VOCs, that's volatile organic compounds, including bacteria, mold, viruses, and allergens. You out there may be aware and may even use, including me, I have one in my home, HEPA filters. HEPA filters are those little ribbed filters that collect different compounds in the air and trap them in the system. Now, here's the thing about HEPA filters. Looking a little long in the tooth, they have been updated in 70 years. In fact, they were invented back in World War II and have pretty much remained the same since then. Molecule's filtration system doesn't just collect pollutants on antiquated filters, it destroys them on a molecular level. Traditional filters collect larger pollutants, but smaller ones can still slip right through. While they may seem small, these tiny particles are a big deal to allergy and asthma sufferers. Molecule is your best defense against allergy season. Whew, and it is hitting, let me tell you. You're creating truly clean air, combating allergy season by destroying allergens in any room in your home. Breathing clean air can help you sleep, of course. If you place your Molecule air purifier next to your bed, it cleans the air you're breathing. And customers have even reported feeling energized after getting the best night of sleep they've had in years. Allergies and breathing issues can be triggered by allergens like dust and pollen and pet dander and other pollutants commonly found in indoor air. Now, Molecule, it's been tested, it's been vetted, and it's been proven. Molecule's PICO technology and filtration systems have been tested and verified by third-party laboratories like the University of Minnesota Particle Calibration Laboratory and Intertek. So you know you can trust them. Get Molecule Air for large rooms or the Molecule Air Mini for smaller rooms or bundle to cover your entire house. So you have got to check it out. Of course, we have Molecule Air and Molecule Air Mini in the studio. And during the fires in Northern California, turning those bad boys on and running them, that was a fantastic experience because it cleaned the air up for us and helped us continue to breathe well despite what was going on. Now, for 10% off your first air purifier order, visit molecule.com and enter the code STT at checkout. That's MOLEKULE.com and enter the code STT at checkout. Thanks so much to Molecule for sponsoring this week's episode of Smart Tech Today. All righty. Now, some of you may already know this because your boss has sent you an email saying, hey, Google Meet, it's time to Google Meet, or maybe a friend or somebody else. But if you don't know, Google Meet, which was originally Google's business platform for video conferencing, a sort of Skype for business for Google or Zoom for Google, is now free and available to everyone. You don't need to have a G Suite account in order to use Google Meet. You out there can take advantage of it. And in fact, when I go to my mail.google.com account, in the bottom left corner on my browser, there's a tab that says Meet, and then there's a big old blue rectangle next to it that says New, and then it shows Start a Meeting or Join a Meeting. So if I started a meeting and shared the link here, then we could all join together, but then my internet would probably cut out, so we're not going to do that. But if you're looking for a different platform to use for video conferencing, Google Meet is an option for you. I've used Google Meet, and I don't know if it's just because Google has such a heavy footprint across the globe that, you know, so many people are Google users or what, but I have found it to be amongst the most laggy video conferencing platforms. Mm. It seems that it slows people down. my internet connection and it do not get along, or it makes the video quality super, 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 super low. I don't know. I've not been impressed with Google Meet personally. But I suppose if you're looking for, again, a platform aside from Zoom, or I guess Skype, then Google Meet is an option for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of just like one of the, at least it's like a large platform that you might be able to necessarily rely on in the future. Like there is definitely some instability with some of the smaller streaming services. Like even I know that like generally stuff like Discord doesn't make money, even though people spend hours chatting or things like that. But it is just kind of interesting to be able to join all of these a lot more freely than in the past. There's also a detail in here too, that you can now get G Suite Essentials with Meet and Google Drive, but not Gmail, which is kind of interesting. Like they're making the Hangouts ability and like file services possible without actually having a Gmail account, which is kind of like you're still buying into the whole system. And I mean, I guess I was just going to say my bias is towards just having a Gmail account by default. So I would assume that if you didn't have one, that you didn't want to use Google services at all, but I guess they have it all available. But also one of the reasons I want to mention this is because it is just like confusing sometimes that this isn't Hangouts, and Hangouts is not dead yet, but will be eventually, because they're all like, it was just that terminology was always fairly casual for a business environment. So now it's meetings and everything, but yeah, in case you are confused, Hangouts does technically exist, but it's going away soon.
Yeah. So let's see. Yeah. Google Hangouts was a great platform that, when I worked at Mobile Nations, we used it for the iMore show for a long time. It was our way to do the iMore show podcast online. And you sort of used YouTube with Google Hangouts and the two combined, and then that went away. And so they had to come up with a new platform, a new system, unfortunately. So I'm kind of, I don't know, Google Meet, interesting, and kind of crummy so far. tell me about this hardware plus app system for iPhone that can make your live stream better.
Yes, this is the Roland Go Live Cast. I guess that's the name. Not that great. But it's kind of a simple way to go live from your phone and plug in high quality audio without needing a whole computer setup. I actually saw this at CES, and that was one of the reasons I noticed it, because I was like, I mean, in general, having dedicated hardware for live streaming is usually recommended over perhaps using your phone speakers or headphones or something like that. So this just does give you kind of like a dedicated piece of hardware that you can go live for using, but also it doesn't have to be like sitting at your computer. I need to contact these people, because I did want to,
this is
like
neat.
I have an electric drum kit, and I don't want to like bring my computer to stream with that, but I could use it to like have as the main source while I do streams like that. So it's pretty neat. It's $250, which is still a little bit pricey, but for live streaming hardware, usually you get what you pay for. Like it is, I've been lately trying to do live streams where I like record my side and the other person's side and other footage, and I'm pretty quickly hitting the ceiling of what one computer can do. I was asking for advice on Twitter, and somebody was like, I like to record all of the frames when I do this, because when you're trying to record multiple sources, it just starts to drop, and then you like don't actually, then your final footage is also juddery and things like that, not just like something getting lost in the stream because of connection. So hardware like this does seem like it's super powerful for making like a solid experience from wherever you want. And it's cool too, because it's just like streaming from your phone is probably what is like the best solution for most people. Like, I've spent a long time trying to set up a live streaming setup, and even then it's like barely functioning. I have it going, but it's still like messing with all the latency and things like that is not fun. So being able to buy one product and then immediately go from there is very nice.
I'm kind of just ogling this to the max. This is really cool. And the fact that it's got XLR on the side, so you can use a high quality microphone. It's got buttons for, you know, sound effects and muting, and it's a whole little studio right there on the device. Gain controls and everything. This is really neat. Cool. And you can connect your phone right there and use it. And with the cameras on the new iPads, you know, you've got a higher quality camera now built in directly into your iPad, so you could have that large display and that as well. Cool. So that is the Roland Go Live Go. Right.
Go
Roland
Live
Go
Cast.
Live Cast. Woo.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this is, I don't know about you, but this had me pretty jazzed for sure. Amazon has decided to make all of its Food Network content free on its devices. So that means the Echo, the Fire tablet, the Fire. Oh dear. I forgot. I've got a device in here that's triggered by ECHO, but not anymore. It's muted now. thousands of hours of free on-demand cooking shows and classes. That is the Food Network Kitchen, and you can get it on any of those devices, especially the Amazon Echo Show. It was a $4.99 per month subscription service, but for now, it's available for free. That's awesome. Have you checked it out yet?
I have not, but only because I was instead watching the Barefoot Contessa YouTube videos, and I just saw this today, but Jet's Ina Gerton, I think is her name. I can't
Ina
remember
Garten.
It off the fly. Yeah. But that was like, we were watching some videos last night and I was like, oh man. So I'll be signing up for this and getting into it, which is good. I did make mac and cheese over the weekend, and I've never made like the sauce separate from the cheese. And it was very, very good. I will say we were both like, oh my God. And then I had it for lunch as like leftovers. And I was like, I'm just happy. Like that's all it is. So
aww.
This is a
I
nice.
That. I do. By the way, folks, to enable this edition, you go to the TV and video section within the settings menu of your Alexa app. So you tap the hamburger button, you tap settings, you tap TV and video, and then I assume you look for, yeah, so I'm looking for Food Network Kitchen, and I tap plus, and nice. It has been added. So yeah, there we go. That was a simple process. And, oh, look, there's logins for all the different, I know it's kind of hard to see. I'm going to be moving my desk soon. But it's got your login with Facebook button, your login with Apple button. Actually, I think it's called Continue with Apple. Login with Amazon, et cetera. So that makes it very easy to log in. I think I'll use the Amazon button because, you know, that's where it comes from. All right. Time to talk about the smart home. And this is something that I've been thinking about myself, Matthew. If you want to go all out, you can get Philips Hue's outdoor lighting for quite a pretty penny. But what if you want to get outdoor lighting that you enjoy, that looks good, and you want to do it on a budget? Well, 9to5 Toys has the answer for you.
Yeah, these are solid. Basically, it's a collection of HomeKit plugs that you can have to just like get whatever outdoor lights or something like that. If you do have a space that you are privileged enough to enjoy, because we have like the tiniest slice of a backyard, and now I'm like out there every day. Like, it's like. I'm so grateful, and I don't think I ever used it before this time. But there's some nice They have options for HomeKit, the Morose Smart Outdoor Plug, and of course it's $35. And then the Google Assistant and Amazon Echo ones are like $10 cheaper. So it's always like, come on. But there's a TP-Link Casa Smart Outdoor Plug for Google Assistant and Amazon Echo, and then also a Sentry Smart Outdoor Plug. But basically, I just have been trying to like create, I'll actually put it in the notes of, I saw a good video from CGP Gray. I always say that wrong because I read it, but it's a video about like just how you treat your environment during a quarantine, and about it's kind of metaphor of like you're in a little spaceship and you have to maintain your spaceship and just making spaces so that you have a little bit more pleasant. Like we're trying to get a sunshade and like hook it between the wall and the roof and things like that so we can sit out there and enjoy it. But getting some like string lights or something, and then being able, of course, being me, to automate it all NFC tag shortcut style as much as I want is nice. And I was surprised that I was totally prepared to open it and it's like $75. So having them be $35 is actually pretty nice.
Yeah, that's much, much less money. And there, I mean, there are quite a few. TP-Link, of course, is one of them, but there are so many different options for outdoor lighting. And then to use those less expensive lights to go along with it, the strip lighting is really nice. So unfortunately, it looks like a lot of them are sold out at the moment. But I know that Amazon, I think Amazon Basics has some LED outdoor lighting as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a little... I don't even know what to call it. It's a deck essentially, but it's this tiny little deck that I can't do much to. There are all of these rules in my lease that that say what I can and can't do to decorate that space. So it's kind of interesting seeing how that plays out. But some people leave their Christmas decorations or their holiday decorations up for too long, and then they end up getting in trouble, and it's a whole situation. Drama, I guess. I'm kind of bummed about this next story. I remember when Automatic had first made its OBD2 port tool for car diagnostics on launched on Kickstarter, if I remember correctly, the Automatic Link. And what it would do is it lets you determine what those weird error codes and those check engine lights and all that kind of stuff, what it had to do, what they meant, and what you could do about it. It also came with some, as they got updates, it came with the possibility to track your trips and fuel economy and as much information as they possibly could get out of the OBD2 port they made use of. Unfortunately, the company is closing down. It's going to be shutting down, and it is due to COVID-19. And unfortunately, it also means that the app and the devices themselves will no longer work as of May 28th at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Like they're going completely down. They're going closing dark. Down. Yeah. Like they say recycle your devices down. It's done down. I would keep it though, because someone might end up just like with the Pebble Watch. Somebody could come along and figure out a way to continue to make the product useful. That's my hope.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, people are not going to be driving as much or buying cars, especially, and leasing vehicles was one of their huge markets because they can stick them in there and track everything over time. I mean, also, it is like they pissed off a lot of people when they did. They basically completely cut off support for their first two products that they ever made. And so a lot of people were pretty pissed. It's like, I had bought the original one and never, I think I even just like kind of forgot about it and never updated to the new one. And then once I saw that, it was like, not exactly like, oh, I'll go out and purchase another one. So they suffered enough that unfortunately they're going to shut down. And it is, this always messes with me, but The company that makes WordPress is named Automattic with two C's. And so this is totally it's like, oh no,
I have that same issue.
Your car won't work with WordPress anymore, unfortunately.
I hate it when that happens. Please post my blog from my car. That's all I ever wanted to do.
Or it's like post where your car is parked. It's like all your private personal information. But I will admit I have shortcuts to track mileage and things like that. So if there are other solutions for that type of stuff. But it is just kind of sad. This is like maybe one of the first IoT things I ever kind of heard of. And it's still just like your car is a computer. Why can't you get that information out of it? You'd think it was easier than having to plug some third party thing in, but maybe we'll see it in the future.
Yeah. That's, again, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody comes along and says, well, let's hack this thing and make sure that it doesn't have to be not used. I still have, there was a company that was created by some folks who were product creators at Apple, and they left Apple and they made this backup camera that it was in a license plate frame that went around your license plate and had two cameras in it that were backup cameras. And it was a really high quality product with these excellent backup cameras that then it had a solar panel inside. And so it could collect energy that way and then display on your phone over a local Wi-Fi network that was tied to a dongle that you plugged into the OBD2 port. So OBD2 port, dongle, and the camera system itself, that powered by solar, the OBD2 port dongle powered by your car, Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, and then your phone served as the display for this camera. And it would have, you know, beep, 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 and all that kind of stuff that I don't know why I can't think of the term, but like backup warnings about objects being in the way. And that company closed down. And unfortunately, when that happened, their whole system kind of collapsed as well. And so I'm not able to go in and reset it so that the Wi-Fi password is different. Because if the Wi-Fi password was different, then I could get into the device at least. And so it's been this whole thing where I'm keeping it. I'm not getting rid of it. I'm just going to hold on to it. Maybe one day somebody will come along and fix the system or give me some way to hack it. So I don't know. I wouldn't get rid of your Automattic just because it's going away. A strings attached home security system. This is a clever way to.
Well, that's never happened before.
Yeah. What kind of long-term costs could be associated with a $35 camera?
The Blink Verge has the Blink Mini review, and they're basically like, these are nice and they're low cost, but that's mostly because you end up paying for the cloud storage in a year, and it's $3 per camera, which I thought was each month also. So it's like, in theory, once you get more of them, suddenly you're paying for a lot more on the back end than you were for just like the product upfront. But I thought part of the reason I wanted to highlight this was that this is a whole review from The Verge, and it doesn't at all mention that this is an Amazon product. And I thought that was fascinating.
I was quite literally looking for that mention.
Yeah.
Because I was just looking for that. Because I thought that I remembered that this was the product from Amazon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, we were like, this is not a Ring brand, and it's from Amazon. And maybe it's just, it happens to be an oversight, but it is just like a fascinating confirmation that even like a product review doesn't at all mention that this is made by Amazon, and it has like references to Ring and stuff like that in there, but I just thought that was fascinating. It's like, they do seem like interesting products, and low upfront cost is helpful for when you can't necessarily afford it, but it is, we always think it's worth mentioning the hidden costs, and maybe when you don't even know who it's made by.
That's
maybe I almost want to like tweet at them and be like, so you know, you didn't mention that this is made by Amazon at all. And that's like a product review from a major tech site.
You absolutely should. That's such a strange thing. I was quite literally, because in my head I'm going, I seem to remember this was an Amazon product. So I was trying to scroll through the article to look for that word really quick just so I could confirm it. And I didn't see Amazon.
I did a Control F and nothing, or Command F, but I mean, I will give The Verge credit that they do on almost all of their tech reviews now, they have like a call out box in gray that's like, here's all of the terms of service that you'll have to agree to in order to use this product. So they do a good job of like making sure you're aware of what's actually happening, but it is just like a fascinating omission there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's weird. That's very interesting. And also, this is interesting too. So part of Amazon trying to sell the Blink is their mention that there's no monthly contract. There may be no monthly contract, but there's a monthly payment.
Yeah. Well, that's right. It's like you can stop whenever you want.
Marketing.
I used to work in it. And it's technically, I didn't say that. So I'm not wrong.
Oh, golly. Well, there's that. Now, the Level Lock is a new product that's out that I actually, so I put in a request to be told whenever this product was available for purchase, and I didn't end up ordering one. But the thing that makes the Level, and that's because I live in a home that has stupid door locks that can't use them anymore. If I'd still lived in my place in southern Missouri where I had a normal door, I would 1,000% have purchased one of these, because what makes this great is that it doesn't look any different from a normal lock. It is essentially an invisible smart lock. And the way that it does that is by putting the whole turning mechanism, the whole unlocking mechanism inside of the door, or inside of the lock, the deadbolt hole. I don't know why I couldn't think of that word, but the hole into which the deadbolt goes is where they've put the entire unlock mechanism. Brilliant. A beautiful, brilliant design that feels more comfortable and more familiar. One of the things that I noticed, I have an August smart lock, and I can't use it in my current home, but I used it back in the day. And one of the things that I noticed, anytime someone new came into my house, whether it was a guest or if it was, you know, there were a couple times where I'd like purchased appliances, and so the appliance delivery people would come into the home, or I had the carpets cleaned, or whomever might be coming into the home, they would shut the door, and then they wouldn't know what to do with this big honking knob on the back of the door. And for me, I knew I just took it and twisted it and that would lock the door, but they had no idea what to do with it. It just kind of looked at it and were like, what is this thing? And so that familiarity, I think, is so important, and that provides sort of a similar experience to what you're already used to. Mwah, beautiful, brilliant. I think this is great. I'm pumped about it.
Yeah, these seem dope. I also, unfortunately, have doors that will not work with this type. I have like a whole
I was fancy hoping thing with your old home, you would.
Yeah. Well, it's over 100 years old. So it's like the back door has
Do you have a skeleton
thing.
Key?
Yeah, we have a big knocker on the front, so it is like that type of place.
And then the ghost answers the door.
These do seem good. It's like $229, so a lot of this stuff is still pricey, but I wouldn't exactly want a cheap lock on the front door of my home just because of like being able to break in or something like that. But it is like a bunch of ex-Apple engineers, of course, so they... You were just saying how simple they made it. And I'm like, yeah, they have that embedded in their DNA at this point now.
Yes, we make products simple and beautiful. I was just going to say, and not made out of aluminium, because that would be a poor material for a door lock. Yeah, I think this is a great product. And anybody who's looking for a smart lock that doesn't feel or look like a smart lock,
yeah,
I don't see anywhere else you'd want to go than with the Level Lock for sure. It's beautiful. And I wish that I had a reason to have one, because I think it's really cool. I remember being very excited about this from the get-go. Now there's a new firmware update for the Starling Home Hub. We've talked about the Starling Home Hub in the past. It is a way to make Nest products available to you within your HomeKit home using the the home bridge platform, essentially, but it is specific. So instead of having to buy or create a home bridge platform and then install a certain plugin for that to get Nest's stuff working with HomeKit, you can just buy the Starling Home Hub on its own, and then you can get access to different devices that are Nest on your HomeKit platform. So what are we getting in the 6.0 version of the Starling Home Hub?
I think the major feature is enhanced security. So they're talking about like SSL and TLS everywhere and API authentication and all. If you don't know what that means, it sounds like gibberish, but basically it's like enhanced security so that if somebody does get into the hub itself, they can't then go and like play with all of your other devices. And also just like the new compatibility with the Eero updates that they've added recently. So pretty simple stuff, but again, just a reminder for people that if you do have a Nest and want to use it with HomeKit, there's solutions like this that are getting more and more official, or I don't know about official, but secure, and maybe less like here's a box you buy from someone on the internet. It's like a little more guarantee that I still would trust people like this when they're generally well received from people.
It's open source, like,
yeah,
technology, so it's been vetted in that way. It's also, it's part of a system that I've been using for a long time. It's a product, like I said, that was created from a product that you and I both use in our homes, Homebridge. And so through that system, device was created. And so, and given that it's based on an open source plugin, that also adds the matter of it being, you know, something that can be checked and tested and vetted. So yes, it's not as official as having a Nest camera that works with HomeKit, which would be great, but this is your next best thing, I would say. Alrighty. Well, before we move on to an awesome feel good project, for this week, it's sort of a project, sort of a thing that happened. We'll get to that in a moment, but first I do want to take a quick break. This episode of Smart Tech Today is brought to you by Casper, my beautiful, lovely, wonderful friends at Casper. Of course, Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. Their products are cleverly designed to mimic human curves, providing supportive comfort for all kinds of bodies. You spend one third of your life sleeping. So you should be comfortable while you're sleeping. The original Casper mattress, that's the one I have, it combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amount of both sink and bounce. Its breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. Plus, more than 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars across Casper and Amazon and Google. Now, Casper offers three different mattresses aside from the original: the Wave, the Essential, and the Hybrid. The Wave features a patent-pending premium support system that mirrors the natural shape of your body. The Essential is a super simple one that has a streamlined design at a price that's not going to keep you up at night. And the Hybrid, which is the one you see Leo on there, it combines the pressure relief of the award-winning foam with durable yet gentle springs. That's right, folks. Springs are back, and in a brand new fashion. Casper also offers a wide array of other products like pillows and sheets to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Of course, I'm a big Casper fan, a Casper stan, maybe, if you will. I love this company. It has changed the way that I sleep. I've got my Casper mattress, which I've had for several years now. And I remember purchasing that and being so happy that I had made that purchase and laying on it for the first time and just, oh, life-changing. I love my Casper mattress, my Casper sheets, my Casper box spring, my Casper box springs, my Casper bed frame. The whole kit and caboodle is Casper, and I'm very pleased with it. Now, you out there need not worry. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on a trial. Casper also offers free shipping and painless returns to the U.S. and Canada, so no worries there. And go ahead and get a Casper mattress today. Again, you got 100 nights of risk-free sleep on it time. You can save $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/STT and using the code STT at checkout. That's $100 off select mattresses by going to casper.com/STT and entering the code STT at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks so much to Casper for sponsoring this week's episode of Smart Tech Today. Now, Matthew Casinelli, you went to a wedding.
Yes. Kind of, though. Not entirely. I attended a Zoom wedding, which was a kind of a fascinating experience. It was kind of funny. Like, I tweeted about it later, but I was basically playing Call of Duty with my friends from Sacramento and then another one from Chicago. And then I left to go to Maryland to go to a wedding. My friend Alec got married over Zoom. And to be clear, they got married in person with like one other person who was the officiant. And I didn't personally ask during the ceremony or beforehand, but I assume they were all being careful and everything. But it was pretty... It was fascinating to just be able to be like kind of a fly on the wall for a friend's wedding and like mostly his family and things like that. One nice thing was just that I wouldn't have gone otherwise. And so it was like he was, even though it was obviously like not the most ideal situation, and I think they're going to have a ceremony in the future. But just like they still wanted to get married and express their love for each other. And so it was nice to be able to be a part of that, even if it was digitally. And I'm like making lunch and then like sitting there on my computer. So it was like, it was just fascinating compared to a whole, like, I don't want to say ordeal because that makes it sound bad, but just like going to a wedding and getting dressed and everything is always like a lot to, or like just a lot to do in general. So it was pretty fascinating. Like, they did a 30-minute window ahead of it where everybody could just kind of tune in and talk. I think most people were muted by default, but that was kind of the funny part, was like just seeing my friend's family and a bunch of like aunts and uncles, many who have, I might think, have never used video chats before at all. So like I was telling you, Micah, before that at one point, like his aunt Tina is like, it's like, where do I look? Like, just like, what's happening? Like screaming into the microphone too. And Zoom on your phone too is weird because like the AirPods were connecting separate from the volume controls. So I literally like couldn't turn it down. And it was just like screaming at every person coming in. It's like, oh, is that you? And stuff like that. So that was very funny. But yeah, bless they just did like a simple ceremony, vows and things like that. And it was just like pretty neat to get to experience that from my friend and sort of be able to tune in where and like just experience somebody else's joy and seeing his whole family. And like afterwards, they took screenshots of everybody's screens so you could kind of see who was there and things like that. But it was a lot of fun. I thought of our like live streaming tips too, because the whole time I was like facing, I wasn't facing the light. And then when they like picked up the computer afterwards to like say hi to everyone, I was like sitting turned so that the sunlight was on my face so that like the light was, or you could just properly see me and things like that.
Nice.
But yeah, it was fun. It was nice. I was like, I went to a wedding and then I went back to playing Call of Duty.
And that was on Zoom. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had like somebody recording the whole thing and like taking other screenshots of people afterwards and stuff like that. So it was, they were like our Zoom photographer, but they had a real photographer also, which was nice.
This would be a good time to mention that we have published on YouTube this past Friday, the hosts at Twit. So myself, save for Leo. So myself, Jason Howell, and Aunt Pruitt all competed in an online or, you know, over the internet cooking competition where we were each in our respective kitchens and were given mystery ingredients and then had an hour, or were told we would have an hour, to create a meal in that hour. It was called Twit shelter in kitchen. Super fun to have Mary Jo Foley and Andy Anatko as the celebrity guest judges. And so we have that posted, published on YouTube. It was an absolute hoot. So much fun. I won't reveal any secrets or who ended up winning or anything like that, but go check that out. Anthony, he put his foot in it. If we're going to speak in terms of food, and really made it pretty amazing, and then was absolutely cruel in his selection of the mystery ingredients that we were supposed to incorporate into this meal. Let me tell you, that part was a nightmare. And if nothing else, you should tune in just so you can see my partner have an absolutely, utterly horrible reaction to my dish whenever it's finished and completed. Because I, you know, I'm not going to say there's just, it was a new experience for all of us. And, he was not pleased, sort of palate wise with the new experience. We'll go with that. So yeah, definitely worth your time. And, you'll have to see all the twists and turns that they threw in. And I have to say that, Andy and Mary Jo both did a great job of being commentators and judges, you know, asking questions along the way, sort of making observations. It ended up turning out really, I think, incredible. So please go give that a watch over on YouTube. We'll include a link in the show notes.
Yeah. I'm curious now that you say that, do you have any, like, do you think that contributed to you having a better weekend? Like having fun with your friends? Like,
it really did. So I didn't think it was going to at first. Because I thought it was going to be more stress than it would have been worth. But I just sort of leaned in and said, you know what, I'm just going to have fun with this. It's just going to be, you know, a good time. I'm not going to overthink anything. And it ended up sort of making the start to my weekend all the better because of it. And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It really was. So, yeah, I think that it started my weekend off right with a good time. It also forced me to make sure that my kitchen was, you know, spotless, which I don't know about you, but I thrive in a spotless kitchen and I don't thrive in a non-spotless kitchen. So sort of getting all of my ducks in a row there before the start of the show and then getting to have the fun of setting up this whole camera system. I had a cutting board camera. So it was my normal camera that saw my kitchen. And then I also had a secondary camera, an over-the-head camera for my cutting board. And so I was working with two cameras and using Ecamm Live to sort of run the whole setup. Nice. And then had my Aftershocks on, which are those bone conducting headphones. They've been a sponsor of the show before, so that I could keep my ears open and listen and everything like that. So it was a lot of fun to throw my creativity not only into the technical setup of the show, but then also into the creation of the dish, because I will just tell you, for people listening, one of the mystery ingredients was dragon fruit. And that was probably one of the easier ingredients to work with. So you really have got to check it out to see the ridiculous ingredients that they made us work with. But it was a lot of fun to do.
Nice.
Let's move on to your pick of the week.
Yes. Real quick. I am curious. Yeah. Okay. Actually, maybe you should just tell me after the show, but I want to know about your whole streaming setup now.
Sure.
Okay, cool. So my pick of the week is the ThinkPad TrackPoint Keyboard 2. And this is mostly a nostalgia pick because now you can get the little red nubbin on an external keyboard. ThinkPads, I've always, like, they're the, to me, it's like my dad's computer because he had one of these when he worked at Nike. And just having the little, like, thing in the middle that you can slide your finger around and it will move the mouse was always, like, kind of blew my mind just that it even worked at all. But now you can get them on an external keyboard for $100. So in case you want to live your inner ThinkPad life, that is now possible externally. That was a terrible metaphor, but
nice. No, I think this is fun. I saw some people talking about it, and it comes with both Bluetooth. It says Bluetooth or wireless nano. I don't know what wireless nano is, but the USB dongle can do Bluetooth and whatever wireless nano is for up to two devices and works with both Android and Windows. So yeah, that's pretty cool. And of course, yes, the little track point system in the middle that people seem to love and enjoy for sure.
Cool. What is your pick?
My pick, oh, that was $99.99. Yeah. And ships in 7 to 9 days. Hmm. My pick is, you know, we've got all these speakers and headphones and wireless earbuds and all these things, but my tried and true friend and something that's been with me for a long time is my UE Boom 3 or Ultimate Ears Boom 3 portable waterproof Bluetooth speaker. This is it's got a really nice fabric on the outside. These buttons on the front are volume up and volume down buttons. I can hold it in my hand very easily. It comes with a carabiner loop and clip. And then the controls are on the top. There's the power button, the pairing button, and then the middle is a smart button where, you know, hitting it once is play pause. Double tapping it takes you to the next track. Triple tapping it takes you to the previous track. And then you can set up within the UE Boom app to have a special shortcut for holding down on the button in the middle. So mine currently will play music from my Apple Music favorites list. It can work with Spotify and some other ones as well. So you can choose a playlist that is automatically played from upon hitting this button. And what's cool is you don't even need to hit the power button or anything like that. You can just hold down on the button without it being powered on, and it automatically switches to that. Wow, it's got,
that's pretty cool.
Which is very neat. It's got inductive charging spot here, so you can buy the plate that you then set it down on. It kind of reminds me of most people's electric toothbrushes. You set it down on that little nubbin and it charges. That's kind of what this is. So that's one way to charge it, but it does have a port on the back. So by default, you can just plug in the USB micro port and charge it there. But the Bluetooth connectivity is very long distance. The battery is ridiculous. The sound is incredible, and it's waterproof, which means that this is my shower speaker. This is the speaker that I take into the shower with me when I'm listening to. When I'm listening usually to audiobooks or something like that. And it floats, so you can take it to the pool or to the beach or whatever if you'd like. But this thing is so steadfast. Like I said, I've used it in the shower a whole lot. I've also sort of, you know, took it through its trials when I first got it to test it, because this was a review unit in the beginning. So dunking it and all that kind of stuff, and it works. It has held up very well. And one of the things that I like about it, I don't know what, I think this is an implementation of Bluetooth, and I'm not sure exactly what it is, but this is currently off right now. No, it's not powered on. It's currently off. But if I were to launch the UE Boom app on my iPhone, I can go into the UE Boom app and hit the power button within the app, and it will send a turn on signal to this speaker and turn it on, even though it's not on or paired with my device right now. So again, I don't know what implementation that is that does that, but I think it's super cool that it can do that, and I'm happy that it does that. And so I, no questions, because there are some times where, because I carry this around with me into different rooms and stuff like that, I will forget where I put it. And so I can just hit that button, it turns it on, and then I can find it. Nice. 'Cause you can set it up with different sort of power on sounds and power off sounds. It is not inexpensive. It is $120. There are some colors that are more expensive, but this thing has lasted me already a long time and will continue to last me a long time. The battery life, the true shock resistance and waterproof nature of this product makes me feel incredibly comfortable recommending it as a device worth purchasing for that price. It's an investment that I think you will be happy with. When my sister was looking for a speaker for her husband, my brother-in-law, And he wanted one that was, you know, going to withhold and withstand some stuff. This was the one that I suggested, and he was, oh, and that it was both, withstanding and portable, but also was loud. And yeah. This is the thing that provides for all of that. It puts out some great sound.
And if you pack a punch,
yeah, they really do. And if you get more than one, or you have one, your friends have one, when you come together, you can pair them all up together and create sort of a swath of sound in a party space. But I don't know. They're kind of loud, so that might be a little overwhelming. But yeah, that's the UE Boom 3. I've had this for so long that when I went to look for it, I was looking to see if there was a Boom 4. But there's no iterating on perfection. So the Boom 3 is still the choice, is still the model to go for. Yeah, this is the UE Boom 3. And it is made so that it could fit into a cup holder. If you were watching, then you may have seen it slides nicely into like a water bottle holder on a bike. And you can play music from it there. The only thing that I would change about it, if I would change anything at all, and really I wouldn't even change this about it, but if someone was like, you have to change something about it, it'd be that it'd be just a little bit lighter so that I could clip it to like a belt loop or something, because I would carry it around with me on my pants. Yeah, exactly. Right now my pants would go down if I did that, and I'm not going to be Flava Flav and hanging around my neck. So I love this thing. UE Boom 3. Well worth the $120 that it cost.
Nice. I have like a UE roll, and that is like 10 years old now, and it's still going. And I mean, it's definitely not like that loud or anything like that, but their products are solid and like waterproof all over. Yeah, that's like, when you link that, it's like, that is the ultimate beach speaker, but please don't play it too loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
That always happens to me. It's like, you're like, I have the perfect spot. And then somebody's like, oh, I'm going to roll in with my speaker and play music for all of you to hear.
And I'm sure UE that's you, now. No, I'm very good. I promise. UE also has the UE Blast and the UE Mega Blast, which are, they're also Wi-Fi speakers. So they can work with Amazon's virtual assistant. And then the Boom 3, which is this, then the Mega Boom, which is a bigger version that, of course, has even better sound. The Wonder Boom, which is, I would call, the replacement for your roll. So it makes it very portable. It's kind of cute. And it
Isn't
has
there a colorful one.
Yeah, well, the Wonder Boom. So it doesn't look like it's listed there on Amazon, but it is on the site. And what it does is that it has 360 degree sound. So it puts the speakers sort of around the outside so that it can be more powerful, even though it's in this small compact form. And then they just released the ridiculous Hyper Boom, which is, or maybe, I don't think they just released it, but recently released the Hyper Boom, which is this huge device that is very intimidating. It has great, you know, dynamic range, but what's interesting is that it has some ridiculous bass in it that can really shake the floor. I don't think it'd be for I don't think it'd be good to have for me in my, if I had a house, maybe it would be okay, but not here in this, complex where people can hear. But it lasts for 24 hours and has ports for optical, auxiliary, and even USB charging of third-party devices. So anyway, check out Ultimate Ears' products, because they have some really great ones, really well-designed and I think pretty devices. Alrighty, folks, we have reached the end of another episode of Smart Tech Today. If you have questions or feedback, or you want to share your picks, or I mean your Zoom weddings or whatever, please do so. You can email us. It's stt@twit.tv. Of course, you can tune in live to check out the show. We record it every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's 4 p.m. Pacific, which is 2300 UTC, which get there by going to twit.tv/live, which has the YouTube live link and the Twitch link and all the different places where we stream the show live. If you'd like to subscribe to the show, we would appreciate it. That helps us out, of course, and it's very simple to do so. You just head to twit.tv/STT, and you can see that there are links to subscribe to the show in both audio and video formats in all sorts of podcast players and, of course, on YouTube as well. Matthew Casanelli, if folks want to follow you online and see all the great work that you are doing and anything they want to check out there, where do they go to do that?
You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Casanelli, and then also Matthew Casanelli on YouTube. And then on Wednesday at 4 p.m. this week, PST or PT, I am doing a live stream about the app Chardy for iOS, which is a way to use shortcuts to like automatically generate charts, which is pretty cool. It's like there's some fancy Chardy stuff you can do with it.
What is an app? Sorry, yes, this is Chardy. An app called Chardy? I've never heard of it.
It's not out yet.
Oh.
Coming out tomorrow. Ooh, yeah, so I'm doing like a launch exploration thing. So it is like a little confusing to build shortcuts with it, but that is what we are here for. So yeah, going to show you.
Cool. Well, I am at Micah Sargent on pretty much all of the social networks. So you can follow me across those different places. And of course, head to chihuahua.coffee, that's chihuahua.coffee, where there are links to the different things that I do online. All righty, folks, it's time to say goodnight to your smart assistants.
Good night, everyone.